Many people living in the Treasure Valley live in a food desert, which is basically an urban area where it's difficult to access and to buy affordable or good quality fresh food. A group in Canyon County called Healthy Impact Napa Coalition is working to help people in that city have access to fresh, affordable food. Now, this committee is seeing success. They've been able to begin a free grocery shuttle tour that picks people up who don't have transportation, and they take them on a weekly grocery store run. And they've got other projects in the works as well. Joining me in studio today to talk about this coalition and how it got started, why it's needed, and where it's going from here is Brent Peterson, a committee chair, co-chair, and Jean Fitzgerald Munchie with St. Luke's. I want to welcome both of you to the show.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Jean, I want to start with you because you were at the very grassroots beginning of this effort. Tell me how all of these community organizations, you know, got together and made this happen, because St. Luke's, St. Al's, the Idaho Food Bank, as well as local churches, all came together, correct?
Absolutely. NAPA was awarded an Invest Health technical grant through the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation a few years ago, and there had also been a community transformation grant awarded to NAPA through the Blue Cross of Idaho Foundation, High Five. And with that, we really knew that we needed data. So there was a big data dive that really looked at areas in the community where disparities were most prevalent, which created vulnerabilities for residents around poverty, transportation, access to healthy foods. So a lot of different layers around the social determinants of health, mm-hmm. which really just mean there are issues where you work, learn, live, and play. And so the data really showed us that North Nampa had a variety of those vulnerabilities that were pretty layered. A little bit before this data study, the Two Paul's Markets had closed.
Oh, that's right.
So that created what you just referred to as a food desert, which means that people are living, there's two different definitions, a half mile to a mile away from the nearest actual grocery store. That doesn't take into account convenience stores. But when you're talking about access to healthy foods, fresh healthy foods in abundance, they really need a grocery store. So this group came together not only from a business perspective, but we're neighbors, we're residents, we live in the community, mm-hmm. and NAPA has a great tradition of being a really great community to just dig in and look to solve problems. So we all came together, and this was resident data that said, we need to figure out a way to get to the store. We don't have transportation. And so there were partnerships that evolved from that now have created this access point around the grocery store shuttle.
And Brent, when we talk about this food desert and who lives in that area first, I was frankly surprised to hear that term used in the Treasure Valley, because every time that I've seen it in national media, it is around big, huge urban areas, Chicago, Detroit, and people not having a grocery store, you know, within easy access. But we have that right here in the Treasure Valley. And then B, who are the people who were most being served by this?
Yeah, I think it's fascinating to recognize that often you think this is a big city problem. Mm-hmm. And part of what this survey showed us is there were neighbors, many of whom we didn't know. Oftentimes we'd assume, well, we have cars, we have transportation, everyone's fine. But the data showed there was a key population center and geographic center of folks who did not have access to public transportation. They didn't have access to cars. And so they had very little opportunities. And so when these Paul's Markets, one in particular, closed down, that created a greater problem for those who couldn't get access to healthy foods. So when you think about who is involved, we did a lot of demographic studies. What we found is those who are participating in our weekly grocery shuttles are often those who are elderly, wonderful people who are kind, but they don't have transportation. Some of them have kids and friends who can help them, but they feel they don't want to burden them. Mm-hmm. They feel like they want some independence. And one of the things we also learned in this study and getting to know them and talk with them is that many of them were actually looking just to get out of their house. They were kind of
isolated.
They were isolated. They were all alone. And some of them just come on the bus to take a tour around first to be with – it's kind of a community that's developed, because many of them felt all alone. And again, these are folks right in our city. And part of the things that Gina has mentioned is we are asking the question, what kind of city to Napa do we want to be? Do we want to care for those and know who they are, those who have needs, or ignore them? And we're trying to decide, as many Napa wants to do, is we want to care and know them and take care of them.
So you've been able to, through this organization, you have been able to put a free weekly grocery store shuttle together for people. But then you're also hoping to start what you're calling a fruit and veggie hut. So explain that to me as well.
Yeah, so we're getting really excited. The grocery shuttle now started, I believe, was it in February? And it's been running very well since then, every Saturday. We're hoping actually to expand that service to a weekday service for other things. But this food and veggie hut, we're looking for a cool marketing name for it, is working with Idaho Food Bank and other partners to help. Actually, we have recently kind of a food box truck was donated to us. And so we're hoping, I believe, in September to begin to go. And we're figuring out the schedules. We drive up to certain locations in Nampa.
Oh, so it's like a food truck type of thing, but with fruits and veggies and that type of thing.
It is, where folks can come on out and folks kind of nearby could kind of come within walking distance could come and get some free fruits and veggies. The Treasure Valley Leadership Academy is also hoping to partner with us, as well as several other organizations. And so we're hoping to get, again, these fruits and vegetables to folks who need better, healthier food. So that's kind of our next phase we're hoping to launch in September.
I'm speaking with Brent Peterson with the Healthy Nampa Food Access Coalition and Jean Fitzgerald Munchie with St. Luke's, talking about this effort to make sure that people get fresh, healthy, affordable food when they live in a food desert. And Jean, before we came on, you were actually telling me that there's a whole other location in the Treasure Valley that the data is showing is another food desert, correct?
Yeah, so Caldwell is also experiencing some similar issues because there was a Paul's Market there that then also shuttered. So they have a convenience store currently that's going to be closing for a remodel. So when you think about limited access and then that closes as well for a bit to remodel, it creates even additional barriers. So we're also eyes on that community to see what we can do. And it really takes good leadership in a community. And we have that with Mayor Kling and Mayor Nan Colas. It's really important to have those visionary leaders who say, I see a need and I'm going to help rally community to really look at that. It's imperative that residents are part of this. It's really important that we don't just do things to people, that they really have a voice at the table and say, this is where we have need. And they want to always be part of the solution. And we have found that that residents really do come to the table a little bit. I think there's some reticence at first, but when they really do realize that you're not coming in to do something to them, but you're helping, you're just being a hand out, a hand up rather than a hand out, there's very little that can't be accomplished through that. And we'd actually left a city council meeting, and I was talking to Mayor Kling, and I have a daughter who at that point was 10. And we were talking about how do we get better access over there on the north side, get better access for residents who need food. And my daughter saw a little kind of a hut across the street from the Nampa Civic Center. And she said, Mom, something like that could be a fruit and veggie hut. And so that sort of was the genesis for this. And then we realized rather than a fixed stationary hut, we need to be mobile because to Brent's point, transportation's a barrier. So if we fix a hut, then we're going to still have the same issue. People can't get there. So the goal with this is to actually go into housing complexes, bring food. We will also have a dietitian who can ride with us on occasion, and we'll have propane burners so they can show people what to do with that. If you have 10 pounds of butternut squash and you don't know what to do with
it. What do you do with it?
Exactly. So we have dietitian partners as well through Terry Riley and the U of I Extension. Boise Rescue Mission has provided the driver, and they've operationalized the grocery store shuttle. So there's just this wonderful group right now who's linking arms to say, it's our community, we care. And we won't stop.
And how do people, so who can access this? And what I mean by that is, I mean, I would assume you have to, you know, meet certain standards. Or is this available to anyone who falls, you know, who may not have, you know, maybe access or, you know, how do you qualify, basically?
At this point, we don't offer any kind of limits or barriers. We assume folks who participate are folks who need transportation, but we don't do any kind of screenings at this point. We've kind of looked at the data. The data show this neighborhood is a neighborhood with high need, and so we've gone to that area. We know there are actually other parts of Nampa that also have needs on different scales that we want to also help as well. But at this point, we just want to be available to neighbors and help them when they have need, and so we don't do a lot of screening in that regard. It's kind of open to whomever wants it. And again, it's not simply about getting food. It's about being connected to a community. Mm-hmm. And the isolation, many of them, it's about reaching out beyond their home. And many of their homes are kind of a prison. They can't get out. They have no transportation. And so this is an opportunity for them to meet new people and not only eat better food, but again, that socialization is a key part of their mental health as well. So again, it's kind of open to whoever comes by and who needs it.
And we had started out initially with the route going to Winco on Garrity. And then we had riders say, we really need to get our prescriptions filled. Could we drop down to Walmart, which is under the underpass? And so Brent reached out to Walmart and they said, absolutely. So now it makes a stop at Winco and Walmart. So as riders are riding, they're saying, gosh, we have social opportunities now. We can get access to food. We have access to prescriptions. And we've had some now say, we can't get to the bank. Could it run on a weekday where we can actually get to the bank? And a lot of them, you know, are living on a social security income. But they really crave that independence and community. And I rode for a couple hours one day. And to Brent's point, there was one gentleman who rode 3 hours and he'd get off and shop. And it only really runs for about 4.5 hours. And he said, don't we live in a beautiful community? I love to just look out the window and see my community. So there really is that connection. And for people who are isolated and homebound, we can forget that the world is pretty narrow for them. And there's just incredible stories, lots of tears. When you talk to these people, they really understand what this has opened up for them. And they will say, I'll give $5. I'll give $5 to keep it going. You know, they're not asking for a handout, like we said. They want to contribute. But it really does need to be sustained. And so that's our big push now, is sustaining and maintaining.
And that's where the community partnerships come in, I am assuming, is that, I mean, this is a program that's opening up people's lives again, but you have to have that sustainability. And you've had great partnerships, but I'm assuming you need that to continue, Brent.
Sure. And I would just say St. Luke's, St. Al's, Boise Rescue Mission, Idaho Food Bank, several church organizations. What's humbling, to be honest, is the way in which little individuals come together and you can do great things together. And one of our colleagues who isn't here, who works with St. Al's, Sherry Ainsworth, has also been a huge leader. And Jean and Sherry have led us well. And it's just been great to be able to lock arms together and just say, we're not going to accept this for our neighbors. We want them to have better, know they're connected, know they're cared for, to know that we know they're there. And so the partnerships are crucial. So we've had several grants we're writing, but the partnerships of several organizations together is what's making it the difference. And it's not simply about the money that comes in, though that helps to fund things, but to know that the community is now aware of this and there's more awareness to what's going on in our community. So others can chip in and say, well, how can I help? I have a teenage son or daughter. How can I help for an afternoon? And so that's the key, is how these partnerships, both from economic corporations to individuals, can be a part.
And also finding out that there are other food deserts in the Treasure Valley and how we help them and access that as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to thank both of you for coming in. I think this is it's such a good thing that you're doing for our entire community. So thank you very much. My guest today, Brent Peterson with the Healthy Nampa Food Access Coalition, and Jean Fitzgerald Munchie with St. Luke's, one of the partners in this coalition. Thank you again, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.